Hello, folks. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have tips and reports for you from Ken Melender down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then we talk with Brunsky Pro Pete Mena, and then lastly with our local DNR biologist, Max Walter. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Get ready to ride. Hayward Power Sports has 2023 Polaris off-road vehicles in stock and ready for action. Plus, during the Polaris Spring Do More sales event, there are even generous incentives offered for the first time in years. Adrenaline junkies, feel the unbridled freedom of the pure speed and power with a Polaris RZR 1000 XP Ultimate offering a rebate of $3,000. Or do you need a side-by-side that's a true workhorse? Then the Polaris RZR 1000 Premium is it and comes with a $1,500 rebate. Hayward Power Sports even has the machine that started it all, the Polaris Sportsman ATV with a $500 rebate on select models. And don't forget, we can help customize your machine to match how you use it. The options are endless, from a winch, plow, cab, heater or AC, to racks, gun scabbards, track kits, and more. These are all brand new 2023 models, and stock is limited. Don't miss out. Come see us at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
For complete program details, see Hayward Power Sports. Always wear a helmet, never drink and ride.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair, Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu. And while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward. Big fish stories come to life at the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame. The world's largest shrine to freshwater anglers boasts a 4.5-story tall walk-through muskie that's a half a city block long. It's like taking a peek into Granddad's old tackle box with thousands of mounted fish, antique outboard motors, and historical sport fishing artifacts. Stop in and take a chance on our 50-50 cash raffle. You could walk away with a pile of cash. See the big ones that didn't get away at the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, Highway 27 and B in Hayward. Open daily, including Sundays, through October 31st at 9:30 a.m. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. We've got Ken on here from Hayward Bait talking, and we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in fishing and maybe some great bass tips. Ken, you know, there's been a lot of people up here over the holiday and a lot of people out there fishing.
Yeah, and this is one year that the biggest complaint is lack of weeds. And, you know, with the late spring, lack of weeds and the mosquitoes are just terrible this year.
You bet. Well, you know, and that has depended on the lakes. I noticed I was fishing the west side of the Chippewa Floyd some, and there's pretty good weed growth up there already, especially if you get over toward the far west end of it. And the fish seem to be, and the weeds are down low enough you can fish over the top of them yet. You know, don't have those tall weeds yet.
Yeah, actually, the sunfish really likes suspending over the weeds, especially red top cabbage this time of year, you know, staging to get ready to spawn.
You bet. Well, you know, talking about sunfish, there's been a lot of people out there fishing bluegills and crappies. And, you know, I've heard reports both of fish being up shallow in places and fish not being up shallow.
I think they make the movements into shallow looking for good cover, and they're not as experienced of not having cover. So then they just move to a different location. I was out on a lake yesterday, and the fish are in different spots than what they normally were this time of year.
You know, and I've been finding crappies in some of the lakes out in 5 to 8 feet of water, and almost like they haven't spawned yet. And I'm wondering if some of the cold fronts we had come through with them water temperature drops didn't push them out when they were in shallow.
Yeah, that first warm front we had like 2.5 weeks ago, they were staging at 8 feet of water on almost every lake. So by now, with the water temp, you know, getting up there in the mid-60s, you'd think they'd be spawning, but I haven't heard of too many crappies spawning right now.
Let's talk walleyes. I mean, walleye fishing's actually been pretty good all the way through May here.
Yeah. The walleyes have been shallower. You know, on the average per lake, probably 5 to 6 feet shallower. and a lot more susceptible to bobber fishing because the weed growth is, you know, not as in as tall.
Bass fishing, you getting any reports on the bass fishing out there? I know some of the largemouth the other day were up on beds, I saw.
Yep, they are. Prefer not to fish after, you know, bedded fish, but the bite should get a lot better, you know, right after they get spawned. I mean, they're still chasing spinnerbaits and chatterbaits and, you know, reaction baits right now.
You know, and I haven't heard much on the pike and muskies, but I know muskie season's open now, and I have had reports of some guys getting some decent fish.
Yeah, the pike are on the flats eating rattle traps, shallow diving crankbaits, and chatterbaits.
And muskies, I think we're just on the tip of that. Usually early in the season, it's smaller baits are the one of your go-to things. But, you know, they like that warm water, and they really start getting going as we get into June, I think.
Yeah, a few years ago out on the Floridge, I think I seen 7 muskies over 40 inches in less than 2 feet of water in these little bays.
You know, there's a lot of good fishing coming up here, Ken. I know the bass fishing is going to be one of the main things all summer for a lot of guys. I know you fish some tournaments, and you think it's going to be a good year for the bass?
I think so. Weed growth is always important to them. It gives them a stronger environment to survive through the predator-prey relationship with the muskies and the northerns, but I think it's easier for the anglers to catch them with less weeds.
You know, and people think with smallmouth, they do go to deeper water sometimes, and fish will fish 20, 25 feet of water for smallmouth, and people think about deeper water for smallmouth, but a lot of people don't think about deeper water for largemouth, and there's times when those largemouth will move out into that deeper cabbage, you know, instead of hanging around shallow.
Well, there's a lake that I've fished in the past that ain't too far from here that I'm catching largemouth in 24 feet of water, so depth is always conducive to water clarity and water temp.
You know, and one little tactic I found that works really good, is pretty simple, is a jig worm. Just a plastic worm and use a common jig and, you know, or a mushroom head jig on it, and just drop that along the edge of those deeper weeds and you usually catch bass.
You know, that reminds me, that jig worm, you know, I've won a lot of money with it throughout the years, especially, you know, the Nisswa guide group over there in Brainerd. I mean, that's their mainstay. You know, you can get on the Whitefish Gull Lake with all them big weed flats. The thing about the jig worm, you can catch suspended fish. So if the pH is too high, where there's a lot of high sun, when you see the sunfish out suspending out from the weeds a little bit, that means all the bass are suspending on the weed growth, and that's when that jig worm is just dynamite.
Well, Ken, I know you guys are all geared up for the summer here. You got everything in here that anybody might possibly need, and a good source of information. People want some tips or some information on where to go or something.
Yeah, we try to put the customers in the right direction, but we always don't know exactly what's going on in the lake they're fishing. You know, and we try not to talk to the guides a whole lot just due to the fact, you know, we have to protect their privacy because they make a living with it.
Yeah, but you've got all the tackle here, and if everybody gets bass, I know you got a huge selection of bass stuff in here, musky stuff, walleye stuff.
Yeah, fish. Yeah, we seem to have all the water columns covered for every species.
Well, Ken, I want to thank you greatly for taking the time here to talk to our listeners.
Well, thanks for stopping in, John.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that bring this show to you every week. When we come back, we'll be talking to Musky Pro Pete Mena again, so stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one stop for the Hayward area's largest selection of rods, reels, lures, fishing electronics, boating supplies, and much more. Whether you fish for bass, walleyes, panfish, or muskies, at Hayward Bait and Bottle you'll find everything you'll need for a successful season. Check out their huge selection of musky baits, and again this year, they've expanded their selection of soft plastic bass and walleye baits. In the bottle shop, you'll find a full selection of beer and liquor. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Make the deal of a lifetime on a new Lund from Hayward Power Sports. Save over $21,000 on a fully loaded 1975 Pro V Sport. or we've discounted the 2075 Pro V Sport Limited over $34,000. We have remaining 2022s, and the brand new 2023 Lunds are here with more arriving weekly. From the 1650 Angler SS, that's ideal for fishing small bodies of water, all the way to the 1875 Impact XS, that's perfect for family fishing for up to 6 people. Get your new Lund today at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on lodging and vacationing here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, folks, you know, last week we had Pete Main on here a little bit. And again, this week we've got Pete on again talking about big muskies and a lot more.
Pete, you know, I've always said that you got two kinds of muskie anglers out there. You got muskie fishermen and muskie hunters. And the ones that consistently get the big fish are the muskie hunters, the guys that take the time to analyze the lake and look at where the big fish should be, and more so than just go out and, you know, like a regular deer hunter, and just go out in the woods and look for a deer.
Right, right. And you know, that is part of your research. I mean, one thing, you know, I always kind of laugh when, you know, some guys get on a hot, you know, trophy fishery. There's things that happen through stocking, and like the Bay of Green Bay and Mille Lacs Lake are some examples of just, you know, there's a whole lot of big fish around. And at times they can be actually fairly easy to catch comparatively. But if you choose to go fishing for muskies, but take it a step further, if you're going to specifically target bigger fish, for the most part, there's a few exceptions in the world, but for the most part, you got to make that decision. You got to go where big fish are. Generally, there's a lot less fish in a big fish situation. So you're lowering your odds of action, but you're taking a shot at a big one. And, you know, if you haven't caught many, and maybe you've tried for a day or a half a day or whatever on a big fish lake with zero action, and I just want to catch a muskie. Well, then, you know, there's lakes around here with a just much higher population density, but it's tough to get them over 40 inches in a lot of cases. Most of the fish are going to be smaller than that.
Well, you know, and there's a lot to be said about that, because, you know, you hear a lot about other places, Lake of the Woods and up in Canada and all over, and guys getting bigger muskies. And part of that's that, you know, you got bigger water. Maybe those fish aren't as pressured as they are in these smaller lakes, and they're not as smart, maybe. I don't know. But there are a handful of guys out there, and there's some guys right here in northern Wisconsin that are consistently getting big fish. And these guys really are sharp when it comes to finding these fish.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's no doubt about it. You got to pick the right lake first. You got to, you know, some lakes just literally don't have them. But we've got a lot of them that do. And, yeah, not so. First, you got to choose that body of water that's pushing out fish up to 54 inches. And then you got to figure it out and work for them. And, yeah, on the individual lakes, I think in general, you know, you don't just fish anything. You know, you generally want to target access to deeper water, some of those type structures. Sometimes the deeper water itself, a lot of times those big fish are out suspended. And that's something everyone should consider in the spring of the year. If you're not having any activity at all in the normal structures, sometimes it pays to go out into open water, because a lot of times those bigger fish will be cruising around out there. And what's nice about the spring is, John, you don't have to take a chance, really, or nearly as much a chance of hurting the fish, because they're going to be suspended high in the water column this time of the year. So you don't have to worry about getting them in too deep of water, barotrauma, and some of those negative effects, besides the fact that generally the water temperatures are cooler now.
There are some cases, though, where there are some guys that are abusing that with using, you know, forward-facing sonar and finding fish in some of them deep Cisco-based lakes and catching fish in 50 or 60 feet of water. That's something I think we should avoid. But like you said, most of these fish, when they're out in open water, are in that top 20 feet of water.
Yeah, well, this time of the year, it's when it's safe. I mean, in reality, it's when those, you know, those water temperatures get up above 70, and then you got two horrible things going for you by then. You've got the fish are deeper in the water column, which, of course, adds barotrauma to the whole situation. But then they're specifically targeting them down deep and using those electronics. And just, unfortunately, more worried about getting a picture of a muskie than they are about the survivability of that muskie. So when the water gets hot and the fish get a little deeper out in that open water stuff, frankly, you just flat should leave them alone.
Yeah.
He shouldn't even try and catch them.
You know, I saw some research on that done out, I believe, in West Virginia, where, you know, they looked at the amount of time in the net, the type of lake they were in, and more of the river systems and the shallower water lakes, they didn't seem to be quite as affected by the oxygen levels as they were in the deeper, clear lakes. It seemed like it was worse in some lakes than others in this, when you're talking warm water fishing.
Yeah, well, I think that actually makes sense. I mean, to a certain extent, not, you know, I think when you say 75 degrees is hot up here, if you take a, you know, a muskie down in, you know, Tennessee or wherever that, you know, where it gets warmer on average, yeah, the water temps, I think they got a common sense tells you they acclimate more. But it's still, you know, at the end of the day, it's just not even a remotely arguable thing that the warmer water is super, super hard on them with regard to stress. You know, I tell a few people when I get on this subject, I said, it's real simple. If somebody was offering you $100,000 for every dead muskie you found, when would you go? The simple answer is hot water time. Yeah. That's when you would go, because that's when you're going to get rich. You'd go poor in November. Water's too cold. Unless you have a fish bleed out or something that time of the year, you can actually overhandle them and keep them out of the water quite some time that time of year and actually get away with it. You will not get away with that in July with the hot water temperatures. That fish is dead.
You think the pressure we've seen more people muskie fishing over the last, you know, 10, 20 years than we did in the past, I think. And do you think that pressure and excessive handling is another factor, too?
Oh, it's an absolute factor that I don't even know, you know, exactly where we're all going to go. It's actually one concern of mine is there's a couple things. We got through social media and stuff, people seem to be more concerned about exact measurements. That's got the majority of people putting fish in the boat to measure them, either on a bump board or wherever, to get right down to a quarter of an inch of how long that fish is. And unfortunately, that's time out of the water and it's stress. And especially in the case of people that haven't handled fish much, in a lot of cases, it means the fish is loose on the floor of the boat flopping around, which, again, in warm water is probably a dead fish. So, you know, it's just, you know, there's so many factors. But now how... with this forward-facing sonar and stuff, John, I really don't know. I don't think anybody does. But now these fish can be harassed in super thick, heavy cover. It doesn't work, but pretty much everywhere else it does. And I know of people, and I get it in a way. People want to catch fish. Obviously, we talked about going out in open water and finding them and casting to them. But I also know of people who literally, once they find them, they'll just keep beating on them, waiting for the window to open, or literally chase them around and keep beating on them. And what does that do to them? I mean, it has to make them harder to catch, without a doubt.
Well, yeah, they get smart. Fish get smart, you know, and you said harassing the fish. I mean, I can remember one case where we saw a 40-plus inch fish laying on a shallow rock bar, and the guys in the boat, they were all hyped up. We're going to catch the fish. They said, nah, you're probably not going to catch the fish. And they cast at it about 20 times, and it never moved. And then as I'm pulling away, the last cast landed behind the fish, and I'll be darned if he didn't turn around, flare his gills, and snap at it. I think just irritated the fish to a point. So I think, you know, that might be a factor too. But the fish definitely get smarter after a while.
Oh, they get smarter after a while, and who knows where it goes. I mean, possibly to a certain extent, we may be, you know, breeding a breed of uncatchable fish or harder to catch fish.
I know one of the pro anglers, I think Al Linder, once said, he said, we're selectively cropping off the dumb fish, the fish that are more apt to be caught.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's very true. That's just common sense. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know, a lot of good information there, and I think muskie fishing is still one of the sports we seem to have a good population of fish in a lot of lakes yet right now, and actually better than we had 40, 50 years ago as far as number of lakes to fish.
Oh, well, there's no doubt about that. I mean, it's still really pretty good, and that's all catch and release, I think, to a certain extent, and of course some stocking in a lot of cases, but yeah, overall, I just go out and enjoy it. I think we do have some tremendous fishing around here, but one thing I just really want to stress again, the handling thing, the measuring thing, even photos, we all take photos, but the warmer the water gets, the more you got to reduce that time out of the water to get those photos. And, you know, if a quarter inch isn't important to you, which it really shouldn't be, unless, you know, if you're in a tournament or something, you know, you got to pick a winner, right? So there's got to be some way, either weight or length, to determine who wins the prize. But other than that, who cares about a half an inch? And if you're, you know, if you're risking the life of the fish at all, it's really quite silly. It doesn't change anything about the experience. That's one thing that bothers me, John, about the trend, is that there's so much more emphasis on the exact size now. I see on social media, and even with talking with people, all they want to tell you is, well, I got a 52 by 23. And, yeah. Well, how did you catch it? What happened that day? I mean, they don't tell stories. They just tell you exactly how big it is. And it's like, okay, well, that's nice. But what's your story? What was the coolest thing about the whole deal? How did it happen?
Yeah, it really is. I remember years ago, it was a 20-pounder or a 25-pounder. And that was like, you know, there was an estimate of how big the fish was unless they kept the fish. Nowadays, it's right down to the quarter of an inch.
Yeah, hopefully that trend, and really it just be, everybody's different and certain things are important. I don't really mean to make fun of someone who wants to know down to the quarter of the inch, but I'm just talking resource and the experience. Right. And at the end of the day, no one can deny that extra handling is bad for the fish. It's just, you know. There's no way you can argue that. So.
Well, I've seen a lot of emphasis put on, I don't care, it's got to be X number, it's got to be a 50-inch or it's not a muskie. Well, you know, back years ago, that wasn't the case. They used to ring the bell at resorts for 30-inch fish when guys caught illegal fish.
Yeah, no, that's true. And I'll tell you one thing, I will take a fat 49-incher any day over a skinny 52 if it's a beautiful fish. But again, that's the experience. It, you know, did you go 6 hours with nothing and then it all of a sudden hit or whatever? You know, the mind games you played with yourself, what baits to throw, and finally something worked. I mean, to me, that's what it's all about, not inches.
That's what it should be about, the experience of getting out fishing. Pete, I want to thank you for taking the time here. We're standing here in the heart of these Wisconsin, I don't know, we call them chicken hawks, but they're mosquitoes.
They're the size of chicken hawks right now.
Anyway, Pete, I want to thank you for coming out here.
Yeah, you bet, John.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. And when we come back, we'll be talking to our local DNR fisheries biologist, Max Walter, about learning and fishing. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hey, folks, come on over to Hayward Ace Hardware and check out the area's largest selection of firearms, ammo, and accessories. We carry top brands like Browning and Sig Sauer, and we have a great selection of the newest and hard-to-find models. We've got a large selection of ammo with more coming in daily. If you need a scope, we carry great brands like Leupold, Hawk, and EOTech, and we'll even mount it and boresight it for you, too. We even sell suppressors and silencers. And don't forget to check out our Guns of the Week. Huge discounts on a variety of pistols, rifles, and shotguns that change every week. So stop on in to Hayward Ace Hardware, your firearm superstore. Hayward Ace Hardware, Highway 63 North in Hayward, or give us a call at 715-634-8700. Hey folks, the Log Cabin Store in Northwoods Beach on Highway K between the Big Lakes has groceries, ice, beer, liquor, and pop, and now has all new tackle and bait supplies. All the current antiques and household items are now on sale and all must go to make room for the sports shop. That's at the Log Cabin Store in Northwoods Beach between the Big Lakes.
Hayward Animal Hospital is a full-service medical and surgical hospital featuring on-site laboratory, digital and dental x-ray, in-house pharmacy, and online store. Dr. Ostrander has 40 years of experience dealing with illnesses, injuries, surgery, and dentistry. Hayward Animal Hospital offers urgent care appointments and emergency surgery daily. Please call early in the day for these appointments. They open at 8 a.m. Hayward Animal Hospital is located 1 mile east of Hayward on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control. A day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, you know, when it comes to fishing, it can be a challenging and an interesting sport sometimes. And on this part of this week's show, we're talking to our local fisheries biologist, Max Walter, about learning and being successful fishing.
Max, you know, we're talking about, you're always talking about information and things going on. You know, to me, one of the most important things and the interesting things about fishing is that you're constantly learning. Besides having fun, you're learning all the time, and it helps you to become better at things, understand the resource, everything.
Yeah, I would say not only are you learning like a new trick or a, you know, new technique or how to use some electronics, but you're learning how to learn. And by that, I mean, you're learning how to solve a problem. That's what fishing is, right? You know, right. You've got fish out there and you got to figure out how to catch them. And by learning that process, you know, it carries over to a lot of different areas of life. And I think that's why it's important to get kids fishing.
And understanding how fish move, what they're doing. You went to school and college for that, understanding fish and stuff. But you know, fish don't always play by the same rules. They keep changing on us all the time.
They do. Yeah. And the thing with fishing in particular is there's so many factors that you can't isolate, you know, this is exactly where they're going to be on this day. You can get a good idea based on experiences, but when you look at things like water temperature, barometric pressure, wind speed, time of year, oxygen, there's so many different factors that it's a tricky problem to solve. And I think that's why so many people love fishing, is it's not easy.
You know, and you can approach it at whatever level you want. I mean, you can go out in one spot, your favorite spot, and throw out some bobbers, or you can take a real aggressive approach. You're trying to figure out where the fish are, what they're doing. You can use your electronics, your knowledge you put together, and try to just figure out what's going to work. Because really, Al Linder one time said, there is no such thing as a fish ain't biting. There's some place some fish is going to bite. You just got to figure it out.
Right, yeah. Some days are easier than others, and the other thing that's interesting is some days you fail, right? There's no participation trophy. Some days you catch lots of fish, some days you don't. And that just incentivizes you to go out and keep at it and keep learning.
You know, and that's right. What you said, learning. I said, most interesting and the fun thing of fishing is, one, you're out there enjoying the outdoors, you're having fun, and you should be always learning. Learning is an important thing.
Yeah, especially if you want to be successful. You got to keep at it and you got to keep evolving and adapting. And the thing is, the fish are doing that too. And we don't often think about that. You know, fish populations are not this static thing where they're going to be the same from one year to the next and one generation to the next. They are adapting to our fishing.
You bet.
There's some research out there that's really fascinating about how fished populations behave differently than unfished populations. And people know that. I mean, that's why you go to remote areas or remote lakes in the national forest, or you go up to Canada, you go to places where people haven't fished before, and those fish act differently. They're a lot more aggressive, aren't they?
Well, you bet. You know, and our fish, you know, do they think like we do? No. You know, they don't have that type of reasoning or brain power. But any creature out there, whether you're hunting in the woods or you're fishing, any creature can react negatively to negative experiences, it seems like.
Right. And that's their survival instinct, right?
It's survival instinct, yeah, what it is.
The thing I like to tell people is, if a lake's been fished for 100 years, the only fish that are left in there are the ancestors of the fish that didn't get caught. And if there's a genetic component to being caught, and we know there is some of that, fish are getting wilier over time. And we're getting wilier with our electronics. It's kind of an arms race, really. It's interesting.
But you don't want to be using that same old lure that you've been using for the last 50 years, because the fish might already know what that is.
They might. And it's interesting now, you know, you look back at some of the classic or, you know, antique lures and you think, the heck was a fish doing biting this? But at the time, you know, they were
more
aggressive and they were naive. They hadn't seen that before. So, I think that's really fascinating. It makes me wonder what fishing is going to look like in another 100 years.
Well, I know I won't be here to see it, but I'd be interesting if I was.
Yeah, I won't make it 100 years either. But it's very interesting. I think it hopefully colors people's perspective of what fishing is and, you know, what an accomplishment it is to have a good day of fishing or to trick that really old, smart fish into biting.
Just being out there in the resource, out in our natural environment, and that to me is enough. I mean, that's the experience.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and the worst day of fishing you could have is still a pretty awesome day, right?
You bet it is. Max, I want to thank you for coming on. I've been an interesting little topic.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at wnoradio.com. And from there, you can link to our podcast site, and the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me, I'm gonna take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.